Empress Eve is here today, telling you what she's got to say. Empress Eve, Empress Eve, Empress Eve is here today. Hello all. I want to wish you a very Merry Christmas. I let you know that I'm busy out here cooking my chicken and rice and peas and all the trimmings for my Christmas dinner. So I didn't have time to record the episode for today. So I can share with you a recording I did a little way back. I didn't upload, and it's another review of Yala Fix My Life, and it's called The House of Chaos. So enjoy that. Enjoy your dinner. I hope your family ain't driving you mad. And I hope if you're not around your family and you're feeling lonely, that you can find some joy in the episode or some joy in your life somewhere else. Lord knows you deserve it. I love you all. I cook food, and I'm going to cook my food now. Merry, 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 merry Christmas. Enjoy the show. Bye-bye. Hello, my lovelies. Here it is, that exclusive episode of my new review of Yala Fix My Life. And the next episode in the Yala Fix My Life that I'm going to review is the season, whatever season number it is, I cannot remember, but episode 2. And the theme of this series is The Masks We Wear. Episode 2 is called The House of Chaos. And I find this a very strange episode generally, because it's called House of Chaos. But the actual people don't bring a lot of chaos into the space. They all seem very reasonable and calm and balanced people. So it is a mother called Christy, who has 8 children. And the first thing that struck me strange was only 3 of the children came to the show. If you're going to have a show called House of Chaos, surely you need all 8 children, or at least 6 or 7. So you get a sense of the chaos, you know. So out of those 8 children, only 2 of them that came on the show live at home. And the other was the firstborn child, who obviously out of the house, but have his own issues with his mother. And one of the things I did enjoy, one of the first things Yala said that stuck in my ears, was because the mother called Christy, the eldest son called Christopher, and the youngest son called Christian, or it might have been the other way around, but one of them called Christian, one of them called Christopher, that she say it meant that this was something that had passed down the line of the family, because the mother called Christy, the son called Christian, the other one called Christopher. It's all these Christ-type names. And it's something that they were carrying down the line that need to be healed. I thought that was really interesting. I would never have come up with that thought. And I'm very insightful. But the idea of them all starting with the word Christ and this having an impact on their lineage, on their generational behaviors and pains and suffering and things like that, you know? So I thought that first thing she said, it was very, very interesting. So yes, so the mother's 47 and she married to a man younger than her, 31 years old, only a few years older than she eldest, who's 27, I think. I can't remember the details. Go watch the show, man. Anyway, he's only a few years older. He and they're trying to parent 8 children, and the mother and the new young husband, I can't remember his name, Demetria or something, so. Very interesting name. To my mind, he didn't look like the sharpest tool in the box. But that good looks could be deceiving, you know. She might have liked it because he's gentle and kind. But in terms of how he look in appearance, he don't look like the sharpest tool in the box, you know. He look easily intimidated and all that. So she married this young boy. She demanding that he come in and help her come and look after all these crazy children in she house. So she got the daughter now that came to the show. She's 21. She got 1 child and another one on the way. And another child they mentioned but didn't bring to the show is a similar age, also has 2 children. So So these are the things that come in. Youngest boy is on the verge of getting into trouble with the police. He's very rebellious. He's very angry. He's very disappointed. And you know how young men just like to act out. So all that going on. But when she was asking him what the problem was, she said she used the word vague, and it was. They was all very, very vague about what the problems were. They were all being polite, all talking pleasantly, just vaguely about, you know, it's all a little bit chaotic and we'd like to smooth it out. And then further on in the show, we get a sense of how chaotic it really was. Because it is the elder son who mentioned that his mother left when he was 12 years old. Didn't tell him where she went. Disappeared for a number of years and then returned. So none of them mentioned this at first. So you can imagine now, this is a family that destabilized because he's the eldest. The woman got 8 children. That means there's at least 3 or 4 that was born by the time she was left. And she left the eldest one behind. That's going to cause some serious issues, no? Some issues, but guess what? Being the eldest, he turned out to be the responsible one. He turned out to be the one that take care of your own life and stand on your own 2 feet. I know that situation very well myself because I have an eldest son too. And out to the 2 children, he's the Mr. Responsible. He's Mr. If you have a practical problem, he will provide a practical solution. But when it comes to experiencing his deep feelings and hurts and emotions, I hope you don't mind me saying, he don't really like to go there. He likes things he can fix, you know? So this Christopher fella, very similar in energy, the eldest one. Then the other thing that come to light is that the mother was abused, I believe sexually and emotionally and physically. And then she married a man who sell drugs for a living. And she used to go on the street corner with this man while he's selling drugs. And she says she sit in the car and she wasn't really participating. But, you know, because the man's so violent, I guess she feels she couldn't stay at home. But she left the children at home to go sit in the car while this man, who is the father of the children now, at least some of them, I don't know, they didn't make it clear, out here selling drugs on the street corner. She didn't mention that. That came out by chance later on in the show. All of this vagueness going on. And you understand that if there's a chaos going on, vagueness and chaos, that can't heal nothing. So you're kind of pulling all this out of them now, you know, showing the story of what really going on. But it kind of left me cold this episode. I don't know, not because I like lots of fighting and drama and argument, but it just felt like they weren't delving deep enough, man. There was just too much absence of people. Too much absence of honesty. Too much absence of emotions, you know? Then there was the problem with the husband and the wife, the 31-year-old husband and the 47-year-old wife. He say she treat him like he's a child. She just talk down to him. She just bully him. She just do all these things. Again, this is something I can relate to, you know? Because when you was a strong person and you date somebody who isn't a strong person, you could end up very easily feeling like you're bullying them. And there's something that Ayana said during their session with the husband and the wife that I said, wait, what? Ayana, man, stop talking stupidness. So the wife say that they had problems with bills and that the electricity did cut off and the gas did cut off or the water or the telephone or something. But I know the electricity was definitely cut off. And she says she expects the man of the house, the 31-year-old who's 4 years older than she child, to step up and pay the bill. And he wasn't stepping up. Apparently, he didn't even have a job at the time, so he couldn't step up. So she was vexed with him for not acting like a husband should act, you know. So she in the wrong in the first place, because what you're doing with that person who is not equipped to play the role you want him to play. But at the same time, young man, if you're going to marry a woman with 8 children and you're going to be in she house and there's things missing and need to be done and you can't help to do it, you have to understand she's been vexed with you, man. She is not going to respect you. But this is the thing Iyanla say that I say, wait, wait, what, wait. She tell the wife, well, if the electricity off and there ain't no light in the house, don't shout at your husband, light some candles. It's like she want the woman to be a saint. She want all she 8 children, the 4 grandchildren, and the husband to sit in there communing with nature, talking to God, and lighting candles. Don't emasculate the man, is what she's saying, you know. Man, that is some nonsense. You can talk to your husband about how much help you need and expect him to support you by helping to pay the bill without having to sit there and light candle and pretend everything is airy fairy. I know Yala ain't sitting in no house with no man lighting candles who ain't helping she and providing for she. So I call out a little bit of hypocrisy, high-mindedness there, Yala. That is some extreme nonsense you're talking. Everybody would be upset, stressed in that situation. But in the end, the two of them managed to talk it out. Because, you know, the mother, very quiet spoken. Very quiet spoken, like she would never raise her voice ever. But the husband gave a few hints that she wasn't always like that. Not in private. In private, she had other things to say. And they weren't said in a very nice way. You couldn't get that from her from the show. I think that was the problem. We never saw that side of her. We only had it hinted at. We only had it mentioned. But nothing in the show showed a woman who is out of control, who can't own she feelings, who can't express she emotion. She cried. She speak her mind. She opened up. She was ashamed to say that she was hurt. She didn't want to talk about her abuse. But, you know, she did. She allowed herself to open up. And when Yala made suggestions, she was receptive. You know, she listened. So there wasn't this feeling of a journey of transformation because we didn't get to see the tough, hard side of her. No, we didn't get to see the tough, hard side of the young son. We didn't get to see the irresponsibility of the daughter. We didn't really get to see a transformation from one thing to the other. So it felt like a very, I don't know, disappointing is the word, or boring. It wasn't boring, but it wasn't exciting. And I didn't feel the transformation, you know. So Yana did her things. She got them all to talk. She got them to open up. She got them all to say what they needed from each other. And to take that back with them to heal the situation. You know, so the younger son, his idea of making money was he was going to end up selling drugs or end up in jail. And the elder brother, Yala said, follow his example. He's an example of you being able to support yourself without having to go into that kind of situation. Express your hurt towards your mother. Express your hurt where you watch your mother leave the house and go and hang out with your husband while he's selling drugs. Tell the truth about how you're feeling. And he did. He opened up. But you know, there's some rage levels there that we never saw. And she's all very, I'm sorry, son, please forgive me. But you could tell somebody you forgive them and still be burning inside with all kinds of things 2 days later. Because you haven't really had a chance to express everything. In the moment, you can forgive everybody. I can forgive lots of people in the moment. You know, we all had a nice conversation, all that. But 2 days later, I would start remembering something else. Like, hold on a minute. Nobody talk about that. We didn't get a chance to speak about that. So all the forgiving I did is only for the things we talk about. There's enough stuff going on here, man. But I guess that Yala would say, I give you the tools, use them. So on the show, there's always somebody forgiving somebody. And somebody saying, yes, I forgive you. And somebody saying, please forgive me. That is good and all that. But you don't get the sense it's embedded in the system, you know, it's in the moment, man. You had a catharsis. Everybody get a chance to say what they need to say for that moment. But there's so much stuff. So because all the children didn't come and we didn't get a sense of what the House of Chaos actually looked like, as I said, it wasn't so much transformation for me. It was more an opening up, a younger husband who having to decide whether he really want to be the father of 8 children, nearly all as old as he, or if he didn't, and if the mother actually wanted to be with this young man, or if she didn't, were they a match or not? That was a moment for them to decide and it was for the other children now, to the ones that actually came to the house, to decide if they're going to take their own path, take responsibility for themselves, move out of their mother's house. The youngest one was too young to move out, but the daughter with the two children, yeah, burdening the mother, having babies, that's not good, you know. So it was a sense of unfinished business for me. I think that's what I say. Unfinished business in a way that the other episodes haven't been. Iyana was a usual helpful, insightful self. But like I said, sometimes she did say things I'm not too sure about at all, you know. So that's my take on it. I don't really know how I feel about it. I didn't enjoy it as much as the first one. So thank you for being my supporters. I really appreciate you. I hope you enjoyed the review. And love, love, love to you all. Treat yourselves good. Remember to like and share the podcast. Take care here. Until next time. Bye.